Well, this morning, please, ladies, I pray all of you just feel honored this morning, and you ladies give so much. We are so thankful. On behalf of the other gender, we thank all of you ladies for so much for what you bring to our broader church family, to our own families, the ladies who are moms, who are sisters, who are aunts, who are grandmas, and everything in between. Lord, we thank you, ladies, for all that you give, and we thank God for you. Well, this morning we're going to come, and I really want us to deal with something this morning. Is so many, I think, give so much, and there's a temptation that we have, especially you ladies, to almost think be all things to all men, and you miss something. And so I want to talk about what you might be missing this morning. So let's grab your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her. Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, as we are so busy and hectic in our lives with so many demands and so many expectations that we might place upon ourselves, and we find all these things and these small things to be necessary in our lives, but Lord, may we see this morning that one thing is necessary. And Lord, may that come and bring a drastic difference in our lives. So Lord, would you speak to us this morning? For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. And it was funny, this last week I was talking to a mom in the congregation. She was talking about the difference between boys and girls. And one that she noticed was asking her boys what they were thinking, and guess what the answer was? Nothing. And she shared her struggle with trying to like, "No, really, what are you thinking?" And he's like, "No, Mom, seriously, nothing." And she goes and asks her husband, and like, "Is this real?" And he goes, yeah, I mean, the lights are on, ladies, but nobody's home. You know, the engine's revving, but we're neutral. We're not, and we're parked. We're not going anywhere. And the funny thing, look at the difference between men and women has been like shown to me lately. Is I was talking with a friend, and I've learned something being among you for like the last 5-6 months, is that you're crazy. I said it simply, you're straight up loco. All right, and what it is that there are the ball games. There's the meal making. There's the work. There's the other extracurricular activities. And I experienced this last week. I'm there talking with the husband. And the wife like starts screeching with the minivan into the driveway. One kid comes coming out. And he's like taking his clothes off as he runs inside. She walks by. "Hey, we got to go do something like this." And she goes in the door. The door's closed. And the husband's like, "I have no idea what just happened here." It's like the Roadrunner. And all I heard was, and just running back. And then I'm seeing like 2 minutes later, she comes running out. "Okay, I'm going to go over here. You're going to do this." And she goes into the van and she's gone. And I mean, it happened like 4 times. And she was going here, all over the place. And I'm no, inevitably, Roadrunner becomes the Tasmanian devil. You know what I'm talking about? At first, you're running and meeping. But then the husband's standing there and just kind of like, the lights are on, but nobody's home. He has no clue just what happened. And there begins this feeling of frustration. And it leads to other things. And this morning, I want us to really think at the busyness of our lives. Especially many of you ladies, you feel like you've got all these expectations on you. You've got all these expectations you have for yourself and every sphere of your life. And you find yourselves running around like a chicken with its head cut off. And you're wondering why, deep down inside, you feel so dry. You feel underappreciated. You feel anxious. You feel frustrated and even anger. You know, I believe what Satan longs to do in our lives is not merely to defeat us overtly, but to distract us. John Ortberg writes this. He says, "For most of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of life. We will just skim over our lives instead of actually living them." And what I want us to see this morning is, how does the gospel free us from mediocre madness, which is our lives? And so this morning we come to the story of two ladies who are as popular and as well known as Laverne and Shirley and Thelma and Louise. You know who they are. They're Mary and Martha. And I think all of us, whether we're male or female, can kind of associate ourselves with one or the two. You have more of the creative types and the really loving types who kind of more of the Mary, you know. They're sweet gals, you know, and they just sit there and they just love, and that's them. And then you got the Martha Stewarts. I mean, I think Martha Stewart was named appropriately. Martha Stewarts, and these are like the A type. I heard one commentator describe it that Mary, when she sees a rose, stops to smell the rose. Martha, when she sees the rose, goes, runs to the house, grabs her clippers, clips the rose, then goes, take it, and gets the vase out, put the water, and makes a whole bouquet out of it. You know, it's the difference between the two. And what we have to say off the front end is both are good. That both are good. And I want to think, even as we think of a church that we're about Jesus Community Mission, I want us to kind of like look through the story through those lenses. Is that the story begins in a great way. Is that Martha was renowned for her hospitality. And Jesus often found himself coming, desiring to come to Mary and Martha's house and to spend time with them, and most likely because she was the hostess with the mostess. And in this occasion, Jesus was coming, and so things have to be just right. I mean, you know, when company comes around, we live a lie. You know, you try to make it look like your house is immaculate. Your kids are well-behaved, and you try to make this big facade, and we all know it's not true. We're living a lie. But then, because we love and honor our guests, we want them to experience this great experience. And so we go and we clean things. And I can just imagine Martha at this point saying, Mary, go into the bathroom and clean behind the toilet. Like, Mary's like, seriously? So there's a lot of things to do, but I've got to go clean behind the toilet. And it makes reasonable sense to her because she simply says, well, Mary, does Jesus deserve a clean commode? Do you want Jesus sitting on there? And so how can you argue with that? So Mary cleans the toilet, and things are going crazy all morning because Martha just so longs to serve and to love her Lord. See, she wants Jesus to be first. She wants to serve Jesus. But quickly in this story, we find something goes awry, which we'll find in most of our lives in our pursuits to love Jesus, in our pursuits to serve Jesus, to serve our families, to serve in all these capacities. Something happens that we may be doing all the externals to be a good lover of Jesus, a good minister, a good person who serves in the church and serves in a ministry, a good mother who serves in this capacity, a good man or woman who is using their gifts. But all of a sudden, the joy is taken out of it. Have you been there? You're serving, and you're going, and you're doing, and you're doing, and you're doing, and you're doing, and you're doing all these things, and all of a sudden, you're not very nice while you do them. Because something happens. The perspective shifts from Jesus to yourself, from others to yourself. And there's a really easy test that you and I can do to figure out what is going on in our lives and where our hearts are at. It's that when we look at two things that we are either or, either both and, doing this, that in our pursuit of these doing things, our affection for Jesus diminishes, And on the other end, that we find our anxiety, our anger, our frustration, our worry, we find all these things rising. And so we begin to look at anything in our life, any good thing, because remember, is serving Jesus and longing to be hospitable to the Lord of the universe a good thing? Yes. Because of our sinful bent of our hearts, the focus will quickly go from Jesus to others to ourselves. And that's when things go awry. And that we'll see is that all of a sudden, if we lose sight of Jesus, there'll be a breakdown in community, and there ultimately will be a breakdown in mission, in the doing itself. And so we find Martha serving. And she's serving and serving because she wants everything to be just right. But when Jesus shows up, Mary leaves her. And Mary makes her way at the feet of Jesus and just sits there and just is communing, is just enjoying his presence, listening to what he has to say, and just eating it up while Martha is serving. Have you been there? You feel like you're all alone and you're serving and serving and no one is helping you out? And so she's getting frustrated. First, she begins with self-pity. Oh, woe is me. I'm the one who always got to go and do everything around here, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And then where does that move? That moves to frustration. Why isn't someone else helping me? I'm trying to do this, and they're just go doing their thing, and they're sitting with Jesus, and that's nice, but we've got to make this right for Jesus. Why is she doing that? And then the frustration, where does it lead next? Anger. I can't believe Mary. And Jesus, how could Jesus let her do this? I've got to say something. Because Martha's a doer, right? She's got to do something. So she comes out. And what does she say? She comes to Jesus and says, Lord, do you not care? What's the first accusation? You don't love me. Number two, that she has left me alone to serve alone. Tell her to help me. And so she begins to question the very love and caring of God, of her Lord and her Savior, and then begins to boss him around. And what we find is that even though the good of serving Jesus, when we begin to go around, we begin to focus on ourselves, that things get ugly, that things go really, really bad. And so we find this all the time, that I've seen this in so many individuals and even myself, is that you go on this flurry of activity for good things and this twist happens and all of a sudden, it goes bad. And you start hurting those you're actually trying to serve. Remember, who is this all about? Who is this big shindig about? It was about Jesus, and now he's accusing him and bossing him around. So just what you always want to experience. Now that is hospitality. Accuse me of stuff and boss me around. And the reason we find in the text is because it says that she was distracted. The Greek term there literally means being dragged away. And we find is that there are so many things in our world that are seeking to drag us away from the necessary thing. They're seeking to drag our attention away from Jesus. Because if we understand our Bibles well, it's not just us doing church things that is for the glory of Jesus, it's everything. In 1 Corinthians 10:31 we read, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of God. So what he's saying is that in every task in your life, there is a Godward orientation. It is for the fame and renown of Jesus. And the reality, the fact in our sinful hearts is that how often do we do that? And we find ourselves and our energy being sapped because we're doing it in our own power. And Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, what we need is this Godward orientation. We need to keep our eyes affixed on Jesus, because as she loses sight of Jesus and turns to herself, things go bad, and then what happens is there's a breakdown in community. Notice what she says. She Mary has left me, and she has left me a what? Alone. You see, in her desire to do the good thing that has been distorted, she begins to isolate herself. She begins to spend all of her time serving, and she's serving by herself, and she never thinks to drop down her towel and just walk in and just experience what everyone else is. And so when the first signs you'll feel that it's going awry, you begin to isolate yourself and begin to point out the faults in everyone around you. And so there's this breakdown of community in the isolation, but then the breakdown in the community in explosion, right? So it's not merely that she gets isolated. Then what does she do? She explodes on everybody. Accusations going left and right. And so we have this breakdown in community. And then ultimately, if there's a breakdown and understanding that Jesus is the central place and a breakdown in community, what inevitably is lost is the thing that she was doing in the first, and which was mission. She was coming to serve her Lord and serve others. And guess what? That goes awry, right? Because this lovely dinner party goes really, really bad. Have you ever been to a dinner party where a fight broke out? You know, it's just kind of like, you're there and then husband and wife go, "Meow!" You know, and they go after one another and you're just kind of like, you're trying to think, where is the quickest exit from this place? And so it goes bad really quick. And the very thing she was striving to do so much about Jesus and doing and serving him is awry. And let me get to the very heart of why this is. Because there's this sinful tendency in all of mankind to focus more upon what we do for him or can do, an obsession with our works, when what Jesus wants for us is not to give, but to receive. What was Mary doing? Mary was feasting. She had understood that the time with Jesus was short. I mean, I experienced that last night as I'm preparing for this morning and I go to kiss my boys goodnight. And, you know, when you have really small kids, you realize they don't stay small very long. And the dad in me said, I went and I was just like, I'm just going to lay down next to him and just, just those moments of my little boy, just reminded of just, this little boy is not going to be a little boy for very much longer. And commentators are pointing out that as you understand the story in context, Jesus knows he's on his way to Calvary. The time is short, and what matters most is the presence, not the performance. And so we find Mary sitting, and Jesus says something to Martha. He basically says to Martha, "Martha, stop. Stop. Stop your serving. Stop it." He says, "You're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. I will not take it away from her." See, literally here it says, you've been anxious about many dishes, is what the Greek says, but one dish is necessary. And you see that what happens is that we have all these things vying for our attention, all these things vying for our priority in our life. And we have to understand that the very first priority in your life should not be to give, but to receive. And I know that may sound like really crazy and strange coming from the church, especially because we want you to give. We want you to give your lives. But you have to understand what must always come first. Jesus. You see, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And I think this is a thing that can just blow your mind as an individual, blow your mind in your world as a mom, as a wife, as someone who's struggling with maybe the wife, becoming a wife or becoming a mother that never happened. You get something that God is not, does not have these expectations upon you that you've placed upon yourself. He does not expect the house to be entirely clean. What he says is, "I've come to serve. I've come to give." And when he is first, all the giving and the community and the mission happens. Because, listen, hear this. If Jesus is not perpetually first in your life, he will inevitably be last. Let me say that again. If Jesus is not perpetually first in your life, he will inevitably be last. All this was for who? It was for Jesus. And everything went wrong when she put the mission and lost sight of Jesus and then lost the community. And ultimately, the one who was last in the story was Jesus. And so what I want you to hear this morning is that in all your crazy and busyness, don't let the crazy and busyness keep you from the first thing, because there's one thing that's necessary, and that one thing is receiving at the feet of Jesus. It is not about what you have done. It's not about what you are doing. It's not what you are about to do. What it is about is what Jesus has done for you. For some of you, you've been around church and you kind of know this thing where I gotta fix my life and put it together, and I've got to be the perfect mom and the perfect employee and the perfect wife and the perfect homemaker and the perfect cook and the perfect taxi driver and everything else that encompasses my world. And saying, don't let any of those things come and take place of the first thing. Because again, you cannot give what you have not received. You cannot love your family well. You cannot love your coworkers well. You cannot love your church family well. You cannot live life until first you have received and are experiencing the love of God for us. Because we are told in Scripture, we love because He first what us? Loved us. He first loved us, so we are to love. And so the priority in all of our lives is number one, that we would sit at His feet. Carolyn Mahaney tells a story of her frustration with life, that she was so busy and frantic doing all of these things. She began to be anxious and began to be worried. She began to be frustrated and to even dealing with anger. And she found one of those moments, and some of you ladies have been there, where you just break down and cry. You're trying and trying and trying, and then the only answer is crying. Some of us guys don't get that. Maybe for us is the answer, you go and sit in front of ESPN for like 8 hours straight. Again, nothing goes on up here. But for you ladies, that you come and there's just a breakdown moment. And she says her husband did one of the most gracious things to me during that time. She says, I still remember the wise and helpful counsel my husband CJ shared with me many years ago when I was having one of those I just can't get it all done breakdown crying sessions. When he finally got the chance to speak, he said, Carolyn, only God completes His to-do list. We are not God. We are finite creatures with serious limitations. Therefore, we need to humble ourselves by accepting our limitations and draw upon God's strength to simply do what we can. He says, CJ's advice not only helped me then, but continues to benefit me to this day, especially as Christmas seasons and holidays and everything are on my front doorstep. You see, underneath this is this hidden desire of our hearts to be God, to be all things to all men, to be supermom, to be superman. And we have to understand that the center of the Bible is not a story of supermen or superwomen. It's a story of one, Jesus. He is the only hero of the story. And when we get that, and we get that He does not desire us to do, but for us to receive, then we'll find the doing happening. And then the difference is that, have you ever served your family when you're frustrated and feel underappreciated by your family? Anyone? Anyone? All right, okay. You know, you're slopping out the dinner and it's a phenomenal meal and no one's saying thank you and you kind of show it with your spatula. Boom! Go splatting over the kids. Mom, what's up? Foosh. Here, enjoy. And it kind of, you know, the whole aura of the meal is kind of destroyed. But flip that, and as a mom, as a wife, as a lady, that you're just being appreciated, like, thank you so much. You serve us so well. You get the kiss on the cheek from maybe a father, maybe from your from a husband, from a child, and you just feel that. And then what's the difference with the spatula? Guys, I love you so much. You know, there's a difference, no? And what is the difference? The difference is receiving love. When you receive it, you can give it. And so, ladies, let me let you know, first thing, is that any man in your life will fail you, bar one. Every man will underappreciate you. Every man will not give you ultimately what you ultimately need. And that is supposed to drive you to something. To realize that no man will ever bring that to you, bar one. For some of you ladies, you are so longing for your knight in shining armor to show up. And then you realize there's no such thing.
He shows up in Zubas pants. Anyone know what Zubas are? 80s, 90s, anyone? You know, he shows up in Zubas pants, his cut-off Bears t-shirt from 1984. And there's more of him to love, if you get my drift. You know, that's in... And you find that those words that you still want to hear, unfortunately, because we're sinful men and we're self-centered and we just not's going much, not much is going on up here sometimes, is that we don't give you what you're worth. And if you aren't sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his love for you pour over you and are receiving that everything's going to go bad. Everything's going to go ugly. You see, what Martha was doing was good. But as Spurgeon has pointed us, what we need is both Martha and Mary together. That we have the Mary heart that comes and receives, and the Martha heart that then responds by doing. We can never get that lineup changed. The priority must always be first, Jesus, and then everything else. Because if Jesus is not perpetually first, he will inevitably be last. What I long for you, ladies, this morning, is that you receive the love of Jesus. You understand that you are a sinner, undeserving of his love, and yet he has showered you with love that you have always longed for and beyond your wildest imagination in Jesus. That he has covered your sin. As you have turned from your sin and turned unto him and said, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I want to experience your love. Jesus, show me. And we see the love of God in Jesus. This morning, ladies, and men, you guys are involved too. Let us remember, keep Jesus first, and everything else will fall into place. Receive first, and then only will you be able to give. And what happens in a family, what happens in a life, what happens in a church that always keeps Jesus first, we will experience community like none other, and we will begin to fuel mission like none other. And so this morning, let's just sit. Let's just receive. Receive grace for your hurts. Receive grace for your unmet expectations. Receive grace for the sin and the shame and the guilt in your heart and in your life. Receive grace for all the things that just don't seem to add up in your life and the frustration with why are you not giving me this? Why did things go this way? You see, when we get the gospel, you get the gospel that all things are working together for your good. So those hard things and those things you don't understand why they happen or why they are not happening, you understand they are coming from a loving Father who does nothing but good to you and is ultimately worried more about your conformity to look like Jesus than your comfort. For those who struggle with the shame and the guilt of your past, when you understand the gospel, you see that the gospel has freed you from that because Jesus has bore that for you. And so I want to say, wherever you are this morning, let us see Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your grace that just pours over us. And Lord, I just pray this morning for those who are just so busy doing and serving, whether it's in the ministry or in the home or at the workplace or at school, wherever they are, and they're just doing, going, and just life is just frantically running by them. And Lord, I just pray that they would just take a moment and hear Jesus say their name and they would stop and be reminded that he has come not to take but to give, because Jesus is not a taker, he is a giver. And Lord, that they would receive his grace, receive his mercy, and that we would begin to prioritize our life and make sure that we understand that first things must be first and some things were left undone. We must trust you to make up the gap. So Lord, we thank you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.